Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Plans to Merge. I am your host, Caleb Porzio.
I'm your host, Daniel Colburn.
And today's episode is sponsored by Daniel quitting Titan. Wait, should I not have revealed it in the first sentence?
No.
It's cool. In the title, right. Okay.
It's in the title. You already know.
So this episode is sponsored by Titan.
Yeah. How you doing, Caleb? Anything going on in your life? Anything big
we should know about? I have some big news.
Huge news.
It might take up the whole conference. Where's my head? Might take up the whole...
Welcome to the first annual No Plans to Merge conference. We've got a great panel for you.
That's right. Two people have turned out for the conference. It's a web conference. $12 a ticket.
It's a front-end conference.
Why would you say that? D-Cole, what's new with you, man? You got anything new?
Just another day, you know? Just another day.
Is it just
day.
Another day for you?
No, it's not.
Let me ask you, will you go back into work on Monday?
I will not.
Let me ask you another question. Did you think you were going to go back to work on Monday yesterday?
I did.
That's a thing.
And I didn't get fired.
Tell the truth, D-Cole.
I didn't get fired.
I know.
Here's how this went. All right. So I got another job. A listener of the show and Twitter user and programmer named Chris hit me up in Twitter DMs a while ago and said, "Do you want to work where I work?" Well, he runs the place. He's the G over there. He says, "Do you want to work where I work?" And I said, "Man, I'm not really looking for anything right now." And one thing led to another, and he made his pitch, and it was around the time I was getting a little bit bored. I don't know if you know. So Caleb left Titan also. It's a big thing. Caleb left Titan. Samantha Geitz left Titan. Those are my people. Those are my main people. My close friends at Titan. And they left. And then I spent like a year working on like sort of random React projects. And I just got kind of bored. Yeah. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah. I was very good at writing the correct type of commit messages, you know, and the rhythm had become monotonous. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like and that's fine. It's a good rhythm, right?
Yeah.
But it just kind of became monotonous. And I was like, I get a little jumpy.
Yep.
You know, when I'm in that same loop for a long time. And so I was feeling a little jumpy and a little bored. And an offer comes along, and I, you know, one thing led to another, and we kind of, like, this has been a slow conversation over time that gradually has gone from I'm not interested to maybe I'm interested, but like probably not, but let's talk about it in a month after the holidays.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you that I'm not interested, to like we talked and like it was a good talk, and like the guy has kind of the energy that I enjoy in cool programmer people who I like, you know, of like, the just kind of that like hackery thing where he's like, "Oh, and then so I was really mad at how this thing worked and I didn't like it. So then I just built this other thing over here that's like really good."
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And I was just like, okay, this is interesting. I like this. So anyway, one thing led to another. I took the job. And then I went into work. And then I found out that... So I've been like not booked at Titan for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks maybe.
Okay.
I've just been working on internal stuff because of the way biz dev stuff worked out. And so I'm like not earning money for the company anyway right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found out that... they had just booked a project for me.
Oh.
And I was planning on telling them today that I was leaving. But I found out yesterday that they had just booked a project for me. I was actually talking to Andrew Morgan, and he was like, hey, did you hear that they got a project for us? Because he's also been on internal stuff with me. He's like,
who's
they got
Andrew
a project.
Morgan?
Oh, I don't. He might have joined after you left. He's a guy that we have. He's a very sweet guy. He worked at Able too.
Okay.
Anyway, he was like, yeah, we got a project. It's cool. It's going to be really cool. I'm excited about it. And I'm like smiling vacantly and just like nodding and I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow, sounds cool. Because I can't tell him before I tell everyone else that I'm quitting.
Yep.
So then I get off that call. I DM Matt and I'm like, yo, I'm leaving. I heard that you just booked a project, so I wanted to give you as much notice as possible so you can try and like figure that out as quickly as possible. And then Matt was like, so do you need, like, is it important for you to work the 2 weeks? You're giving me 2 weeks notice, right? Which is like the professional thing to do. But like, is it important for you to work those 2 weeks? And I was like, well, actually, I was kind of thinking I've got 2 weeks of vacation time saved up. What if I just used my vacation time for my 2 weeks notice, since I'm not making you any money anyway, and you can't very well book me on a new project now, right, as I'm walking out the door? And he was like, let me talk to Dan about it. And then he kind of comes back and he's like,
you're fired.
Yeah. Today's your last day. Congrats.
That's insane.
It was so wild, dude. The roller coaster of emotions. Roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because I went from like, I feel like kind of like, you know, I'm breaking it to him, but like, I'm going to have a couple weeks to like process this and hang out with everyone and say goodbyes and stuff, to like literally like, oh, I will never go into work at Titan again.
That's insane.
It was wild.
I remember the anytime I've left a job, like, it's like, what's it not like?
Well, it's not like their fault, all right? Like, I proposed the idea and they took me up on it. But then it did make me feel a little uncomfortable.
What did?
But I made myself uncomfortable. Well, just the fact that I'm not going to have that like slow wind down at the end.
That is definitely different than I've had. But yeah. The day after leaving a job is just a very special feeling. You're like, I am unmoored, to use your own words.
Yeah.
Just like this feeling of freedom. Sweet smell of freedom.
Yeah. It's wild.
My brain just went to like, well, shoot, being self-employed, you never get that. Maybe if you like had clients that, I don't know. But like
you can take a sabbatical from the sabbatical.
Yeah, I think I need to feel that. That's crazy. Yeah, so you're free. You're a free man. And are you doing a gap in the middle?
I am. First of all, I'm taking the 2 weeks of PTO.
Right.
And then I'm also probably taking another week or two after that. So it looks like I'm going to have almost a month off.
Great.
Which is...
it's plenty of time to finish a podcasting app.
The shortest month for sure. But yeah, no, I literally was just talking to new boss Chris.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm finishing this click thing.
Nice.
I might not finish like the UI, but who knows? Maybe I will just finish the UI.
Who knows?
Who knows?
A lot can happen in a month.
A lot can happen in a month.
A ton.
And like, also there's this British guy named Matt who's like our main contributor now.
Yeah.
Besides me.
Yeah, right.
And, but he's in England, and England is a terrible time zone for me to pair with, because the only good times to pair with British people are like in the morning, my time.
Yeah, but isn't it like
British people?
British people put like after they put their kids to bed is like you're 2 o'clock, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're 6 hours ahead, I think.
Okay, well, perfect. So yeah, anyway, this is gonna give me some time. I was thinking like the best time to do it would be 4 a.m. or something.
No,
but I'm like, well, either way, it doesn't matter, because like I am unmoored.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
like whatever. So if I want to pair with a random Brit to work on Click, I just can do that, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So you have complete freedom and you're out from under the Titan umbrella. which is something that I remember feeling, it was a sort of a nice feeling for me to be striking out on my own and not even have to think if an idea I had, like, when did I have the idea? Where did it start? Do I have to check with 100 people to make sure that I can, like, write about this thing? You know, there's so much, like, red tape or, like, whatever that you would call those things that I just loved being free from it. So I could just basically not worry about all that stuff and just do stuff. Is that a feeling for you? Do you think, or have you felt it, or any, you know?
So the interesting question for me is, like, in whatever this, like, small endeavor of, like, trying to do things in public is.
Yeah. Right.
That involves, like, this podcast and open source stuff and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like, am I going to be better at that now or worse at that now? Right. Because there's an undeniable bump that you get from Titan. Right.
Yeah.
Like, nobody would know who I was if I had not worked at Titan.
Right.
Like, I think that's just an undeniable fact. But I also don't know if within that Titan umbrella, I would have done the stuff necessary to go past where I am, you know?
And whether for sure. Yeah.
Whether that's because, like, I don't think it's necessarily because they would have, like, stopped me, but because, like, you know, maybe the only good blog post ideas I have end up getting absorbed by the Titan blog because I have to write posts for them.
Yep, for sure.
Or maybe the, you know, whatever. Maybe the only good open source packages I end up coming up with end up becoming Titan open source packages. And so,
yeah.
And so I do kind of wonder, like, is there a limit to how far I can go? Because Titan is so well designed to provide you avenues to work on all of those exact types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a whole day about it. And what, so you're supposed to 20% day.
Gotcha. Not Christmas.
No, because there's a whole day about it every week and you're supposed to, like, do some of that kind of output.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'll actually do more of that. And now that I've got a month in between jobs, like, there's a bunch of stuff I just haven't done.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have a blog. I have a website. Like, maybe I should make a blog. And then that way, if I do decide to write a blog post, I have somewhere to put it. And I don't have to, like...
I got the perfect CMS for you, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
When you're ready.
All right, cool. I think I'm ready.
It's called Bear Sync.
Bear Sync? Oh, my God. Is that your thing?
Yeah.
I think I'm actually anti-bear now.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's a new thing I'm experimenting with. Let's save it for another episode. It's not fully baked.
Next episode, Daniel quits
bear. I'm not ready to defend this position yet, but I think I'm anti-bear.
No way.
Yeah.
Can we please just go down this road for a second?
I think it might be bad.
No.
I'm not sure. We'll talk
about
it
later. Just give me something.
It just doesn't have any of the things that I want from editing text.
Decal.
Yeah.
What do you want?
It's really pretty.
What's the word? I think I'm running on E over here mentally.
That's fine.
Patronized, condescending.
I'm running on, like, F++, so we're good.
Is that more fuel than E?
Yeah.
F full.
Did I tell you the story about overfilling my gas tank?
No.
I just overfilled my gas tank, like, a week ago.
Oh, really?
I haven't, like, I went into the store to buy some ice cream, and the like, autofill handle didn't stop.
Oh, no way.
And so I just came out, like, and there's just gasoline pouring out of my car all over the ground.
Freaking. Say fuck on this podcast. Fucking.
You know what
idiot.
The worst part about it was? You know what the worst part about it was? Is the gas station I went to, they have the ice cream cooler right next to the door. And I had been requested to get ice cream because we were bringing brownies to a board game night.
Nice.
And I was like, let's bring some ice cream with our brownies.
Did you make the brownies?
Not animals. My wife made the brownies.
Were you going to say your mom?
No.
Uh-huh. You ever Freudian slip on that one?
I know. Although Charlotte did just call her dad Daniel on the phone the other day.
Oh, boy.
She was yelling at him to quit his job or something.
Right.
Which, you know, is in the theme of things.
It's in the Daniel theme.
Well, Charlotte also quit her job on the same day. That's a whole other story. Oh, my gosh. We all quit our jobs. This whole family has quit their jobs.
What about Toons?
She doesn't have a job.
Doesn't have a job?
She quit her job day one. But yeah, anyway, long story short, I went to this gas station. I had to get ice cream. This gas station, because of the terrible place that they chose to put the ice cream cooler, people steal ice cream a lot.
Oh, I bet.
And so they have like a padlock on the ice cream cooler instead of just moving it to a sensible place.
Like an ice box outside. Like,
no, it's literally by the door. But
right,
it's
no,
inside.
I know, but that's but what like they do with ice. They have those like things and they're locked.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like that.
They padlock.
So it's an ice cream cooler.
That's funny.
And so I had to go through this whole like 7-minute ordeal of what like getting them to unlock the ice cream
that's
cooler
hilarious.
So I could buy ice cream.
That must really limit their ice cream
so
sales.
So I was standing by this glass door in full view of my car the whole time, but I wasn't looking out. I was looking down at the ice cream cooler. And if they had just not put the ice cream cooler there, I would have been in and out. And this wouldn't have happened.
My dear D-Cole.
Yeah.
The last time I overfilled my gas tank, I was driving a sheepdog van with, and I lifted the leg.
I'm at this point not sure if you were riding a sheep, riding a dog, or driving a van.
Why not go up? Why not
sheepdog van?
D-Cole.
Yes.
So you quit Titan.
Quit Titan.
So you're leaving Titan. You're not under the Titan umbrella. So are you gonna fall into Titan gave you the name that you have.
Sure.
I don't actually agree with that, but I'm just saying that. Titan.
Well, okay, you could argue, right? That there is an alternate universe where I would have made the same name for myself without Titan.
In the WordPress community.
But that isn't what happened. So in the real world that did happen, I would say that Titan did give me my name.
Yes. So you leave Titan. Now, are you just going to flatline? Are we never going to hear from you? What other are there other like Laravel developers we can think of that disappeared into Sam Geitz, I guess, right? Like she's not as, I don't know, maybe just cause I don't work with her anymore, but
I wouldn't say that she disappeared.
No, she didn't disappear, but you know what I mean? Like she's not, does she even work in Laravel right now?
Yeah. Laravel and Vue.
Laravel and Vue. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I know.
I didn't know the Vue thing.
She's like big Vue energy now too.
Wow.
Yeah. She was just tweeting about Vue 3.0 the other day.
Okay. So D-Cole. You're leaving Sam Geitz. Yeah, but she like when she was a Titan, you know, there's like Titan does a Laracon thing. So she's involved in that somehow. Or there, you know, there's like the Vue versus React. So she's like a team leader there. She gets shouted out. Yeah. She gets, you know, Matt, I'm sure, puts a good word in for her to speak at Laracon and stuff like that. I don't know if he does or not. But that's, you know what I'm saying? So like you lose all that stuff.
Right.
So in that sense, you have to. But yeah. So I don't know. You might be a Lara nobody. Or
maybe I'll be a Lara nobody.
Be a Lara god.
My kind of guess is though that it might light a little bit of a fire under my ass to
that's possible.
Do some stuff, especially with the hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got two main projects during this hiatus. One is lay the floors in this office.
Okay.
And two is like work on public things.
Yeah.
Like working on Click,
right?
Working on, you know, streaming while I'm working on Click.
Yep.
Working on this podcast, trying to make a blog, you know, doing all the things that like I didn't do because I was a part of that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why I wouldn't just like take this and pop off.
Pop off, bro.
Not like pop off, like become a golden god or anything, but just pop off and like find a new rhythm of what to do with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I also recently made a deal with like my ADHD coach that I'm spending 3 hours every Saturday between 3 and 6 working on like public facing things.
Hmm.
So that's my new official slot.
Interesting.
That every, and I mean, I don't know if it applies on weeks where I'm spending all day, every day doing that, but like during a work week, like I'm going to spend 3 hours on the weekend doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Cause that's the deal I made with Coach Rudy Rodriguez from the ADHD Center for Success.
That's hilarious.
That guy's a G.
D-Cole. Your demon is writing blog posts. Is that accurate?
I have written 3 blog posts in the last month.
Really?
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
Where have I been? They're published?
Nope.
Oh.
But I submitted the pull requests on 2 of them today.
Oh, that's
because
funny.
Because it was like, submit them in whatever state they're in. And they just happened, they're both pretty much as ready as I was going to get them.
Oh, okay. Well, good
so
for you, man.
I wrote React in 2020, part 1. I wrote React in 2020, part 2.
Wow.
And I wrote Migrating a Production App to Vapor.
Wow. What about that LiveWire blog post?
That I could now
that,
write.
Whatever happened to that, you son of a bitch?
I could now write, but I couldn't write it before.
That's crazy. 3 blog posts. D-Cole.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel interesting. Right now like I'm incapable of writing a single blog post.
Really?
Yeah. I think I go
That's
in ways.
That's great. Maybe we've switched.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like this in the past, and all it takes is one good post. You know, all it takes is you going, you know what?
I can write a blog post.
No, being like, some post is better than no post. Thought spew. You know, then something comes out and people are like, I really thought, you know, people are like into it. They're like, oh, I like your writing style. And then and then that fades for me. And then I start being more formal or thinking I have to do something formal. And then, I don't know. I need to just start throwing up words on the page, not looking and hitting publish. But man, interesting. Okay. So D-Cole, you quit your job. You're not under Titan.
Oh, I didn't even say where I'm going. So I'm going to a nonprofit called InterNACHI, which is a trade organization for home inspectors. So it's like, you already know this, so you're like pretending that this is new information, but for the listener, it's new information.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it's basically like there are a bunch of home inspectors who pay dues to this organization, and then it provides a bunch of services to them, but one of the things it provides to them is like sort of education and certification stuff to like keep their certifications up to date. So there's a bunch of stuff of dealing with different states and their licensing boards and whatever that. And they basically maintain something similar to like an LMS, although I haven't really fully gotten into the code base yet.
What's an LMS?
All the certification, learning management system.
Got it.
So like whatever, there's stuff you're supposed to learn and then there's ways that we verify that you learned it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
But yeah, so it's a Laravel app. There's some React stuff. So all of that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And looks like there's also some like DevOps-y stuff that I'm going to get to dig into, which I love and missed. I missed it. Just being in the world of Forge, like I love Forge, but like there is something about like I haven't installed anything on a server since I've been at Titan.
That's
you know
funny.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've only like CD'd and then run like an artisan job or something. You know what I'm saying? And
Or added like a Forge recipe or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, you are a DevOpsy guy. Like you're a DevOpsy flavored hacker.
Yeah, well I used to do it when I had to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I would agree that at Titan there's very it's just not I think it's because it's not a product place and like any, yeah. I don't know, like actually, any of the big enough.
I feel like we did a little. Oh, can I say that?
Screw you, Daniel. Are we gonna have to edit this?
Oh no!
Wait, wait. You don't work for Tide anymore. Can we just say it?
I don't think so. I'll beep it. I'll do
just
it.
Just dupe you, Deagle. Yeah, you're right, but...
Sorry, I'm out from under the umbrella. Everything's just coming out.
Can we keep saying...
Caleb!
At Face Place. That was, we call it Face Place.
So it was called Baseball Football Service. That's what its official name.
At Baseball Football Service, they had, you know... I can't say any word now. They had DevOps people.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but there was more DevOps considerations.
Oh, for sure.
It was microservice world.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, I had to write some Jenkins configs and some, you know.
Any product place that I've worked at or that my friends work at, there's way more DevOps stuff going on. Yeah. You know, they all got to, like, in the last place I worked, I had to, you know, I was in AWS. I was setting up YAMLs. I was doing my thing. But, yeah. Yeah, but at Titan, because it's an agency and you're doing like either Laravel, either other people manage that stuff or they're like small like prototypes or they're, I don't know, it's just like small stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Even when it's big stuff, some, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they are of the Church of the Almighty Monolith, you know?
Yes.
And the Church of the Almighty Monolith doesn't need nearly as much DevOps.
I love that church, I tell you. I tell you, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
The sacrament of push to deploy.
Yeah. Oh, it's a sweet sauce that we dip in.
Yeah.
It's a sweet sauce that we dip our nuggets in. Indeed.
I'd rather you didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just no, a quick I'd ask dip. You wouldn't.
Oh, hey, I was on the changelog today.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's amazing.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's a big deal. It's funny because I'm like stunting. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. I get on the thing. I don't even know anything about it. I forgot I even booked it. And I thought that they had me on for Alpine. Oh, this is funny. Deco, you're going to want to listen to this podcast. Not this one. That one.
We're goofy,
dude.
Today.
I've been on calls all day. My brain is
me too. Actually,
I've eaten almost nothing. I've half eaten this prosciutto. That's it. This little Aldi.
The prosciutto.
The prosciutto. Yeah. Decol on my face. What was I saying? The changelog. So I get on and I'm like, I get out with this guy. I know nothing about the changelog. And Jared, I don't know. People probably know Jared. And I'm like. So I don't know much about the changelog. You know what? I'm just like, what, tell me about it. Like, what do I? And he's like, oh, well. And then I quickly got the idea that like this is his full time thing, and it's like a media empire, which is very funny. But you know, it was one of those things. And like he's like telling me about his audience as we go too. He's like, and typically our audience, you know, and I don't know. It's just one of those unique opportunities where you're like not aware of your surroundings.
Did you promote the show?
Yeah, yeah,
Caleb. Oh,
yeah.
All right, good.
Probably not as heavily as I should have. I did say no plans to merge, and I promoted you mostly because he. So
that's
turns out this is
you.
Where my head's at. I must have sounded like such a freaking buffoon, but I. Like,
so you thought he was having you on about Alphine?
Yeah. And how did
and
you
what
know
was he
that?
Having you on about? Because you already said it.
Oh
Caleb.
My gosh, dude! I'm telling you, some
people are gonna
synapses
love this
are just fried right
the
now.
The people are gonna love this one.
Decol.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he wanted to talk about sponsorware. Yeah.
I told Caleb, did I or did I not tell you that? This is a thing that is wholesale stolen from another podcast I listen to called Dubai Friday. And I believe there it is wholesale stolen from someone else. Are you aware of the concept of stock and flow?
No.
So stock is the things that you have that build value slowly. And flow is, you know, your cash flow, your income, right?
Oh, okay.
Blog posts can be stock or flow, and you need both, right?
Okay.
Your Livewire development update blog posts, those were flow, right? They provided momentary insight into what's going on right now in Livewire development, right? Those are not going to be valuable 3 years from now.
Right.
No one is going to consult those.
They're already not valuable.
The sponsorware blog post that I have been trying against all odds to get you to write is going to be huge. If you write it and you write it well and you define the concept of this thing and you tell the story of Sushi as the first official sponsorware product.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone says the word sponsorware anywhere on the internet, it will be hyperlinked to that blog post.
Yeah, you're right.
You know the guy who wrote the yak shaving blog post, and now anytime anyone says yak shave, they link to that blog post? this is what I'm saying. Write this blog post. You saying you can't write a blog post at all right now.
Oh, I say that this because I've been trying to write the freaking blog post.
This is an easy blog post to write.
Yeah. It probably should be easier than I'm making it, yeah.
Well, guess what? I don't have a job now, so if you want to pair on this blog post, I'm happy to do it.
Home is what you make it, D. Cole.
So anyway, he got you on to talk about sponsorware. That's wild.
Yeah, so he's like, so he didn't even know about Alpine.
No way.
It's just ridiculous.
Do you know about Livewire?
I think so, yeah. So I start talking. I'm expecting, like, I just thought, I launched Alpine, it reached the wide world, and so all these people are, like, reaching out to me. Because another podcast did about Alpine. I just got them confused. Dev 2 or something, whatever. Not Dev 2.
Oh, that's also a big podcast.
Wait, not Dead Pod Dev? Not Dev 2. Dev. What's the... isn't Dev 2 that, like, site? That, like, app?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
maybe
I'm
that's
not thinking about this.
I knew it was a big thing.
Yeah, no. Dev 2 is, like, a huge... Not Dev 2. It's another decent-sized podcast, which Jack McDade was on. I went through all the past, like, people... And they've had some biggies.
Cool.
No, the changelog is so funny. I started to realize like what was going on when I mentioned stimulus and was like about to shit on it a little. But I did. I'm pretty good about not shitting on it on podcasts. That's not our podcast,
except for this one.
Except for this one. He's like, oh yeah, and we had David on. And when we had David on, when stimulus came out, you know, and I'm like, oh shit. That's,
yeah. It's like, oh, okay. I'm in the big leagues right now.
All right, we're doing that, huh? So. He's like, and tell me about Alpine. And I told him, I thought that he wanted me to just tell people about it. And then he's like, well, I'm looking at it right now. And I, like on the show, I was like, I thought this was about Alpine. On the show, I just said that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I was curious about sponsorware and Sushi. I was like, what are you talking about? No way.
That's
awesome. So the whole rest of the podcast was about sponsorware. And it was actually really good content. And of course,
I believe it.
Gave you full credit where credit
was due. The changelog. Just to catch you up on what the changelog is.
Yeah, please tell me.
The changelog is the biggest website and podcast on the internet covering open source as an entire thing.
Hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are, you know, other things that cover like the Ruby world or the PHP world or the web dev world or the Linux world or something. The changelog covers like open source software.
Okay.
So sponsorware is like a totally...
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, it makes total sense why they would be more interested in sponsorware than in, like, your specific JavaScript library, you know?
That's so funny.
But like, because that's a thing, the principle applies outside of any specific technology. It's a valuable thing for everyone.
Yeah.
There will be, Caleb, if you write this blog post, there will be a sponsorware Linux distribution one day. There will be a sponsorware... you know, new programming language one day. But you need to write this blog post because this is your legacy.
Yeah.
Whereas the other
things
are temporal.
It's your legacy, though.
Well, that's fine. I'm excited for you as the person who actually made a sponsorware thing to write about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be the person who actually, like, makes a living on sponsorware.
Right. You're just the guy who had the idea.
I'm just a guy's got a podcast, man.
I want to re-listen to that moment. Maybe I should find that moment in the podcast and put a clip.
We should clip
for
it.
The blog post. I kind of just remember it going something like, "Yeah, but I don't want to like charge for it because I want it to be open source." And you're like, There's a site called, what's the site that does this?
Patreon?
No, like Mass Drop or something. Like.
Oh, it was, maybe it was Mass Drop, yeah.
Was it? No, it wasn't Mass Drop. But
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Which apparently is now called Drop, because I referenced Mass Drop, because that's the only thing I could think of on the changelog. And he's never heard of it, and so he Googled it, and now it's Drop. And
Anyway.
Anyway, Drop, right, so.
That's cool, though, man.
Anyway, yeah, it was really cool. It was really fun, and I just kept saying, like, here are the important... Yeah, it was a very me and you podcast. Like, I kept saying, like, like, and on the podcast.
Yeah. That's cool. Promoting the show, all that.
What'd you say?
Good times. So you're out there, you're promoting the show.
Promoting the show.
Gotta promote that show.
No plans to merge, baby.
No plans to merge.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, I hope we do no plans to merge for the rest of our lives, Daniel.
I enjoy it so much. It's such a blast.
Yep.
I'm very interested to see the turn that it takes now that we've both left Titan.
Yeah. Now we can really say whatever we want to say.
And then it was not owned by Titan. Well, this show was never owned by Titan, but the show, the predecessor to this show, was owned by Titan. And then we started a new show that was not owned by Titan, but I still worked at Titan. And now neither of us works at Titan. It's like three eras of the show.
That's true. Yep, it is three eras.
You think we should just start a new feed just for the heck of it?
Yeah, right? That's funny.
Just throw away all these subscribers.
Titan will always be... That's so funny, because my mental model hasn't changed now that you've left Titan, because my day-to-day life isn't changing at all.
Yeah.
But Titan will always be...
Wait till I start coming for you.
The first... It will always be, there will always be a chair in the No Plans to Merge room.
Oh yeah, no, Titan is definitely like the executive producer of our show or something. Whether willingly or unwillingly.
I'd like to take a minute, reflect on Titan. Thank you, Titan, for creating the environment that allowed D-Cole
and C-Pores
to put our heads together.
Foster
to put our meats together. To meet with our heads together.
Did we put our meats together, Caleb? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, like hand meat.
We did that as coworkers?
Yes.
Sounds like a lawsuit.
That is called a high five, Daniel. Putting your meats together. That's what we always called it.
Anyway, but yeah, we spent many like on-site nights talking till like 5 a.m. coming up with solutions to problems stuff. Like, this is Titan fostered our whatever this is, our weird partnership.
Every time we've ever been in person, we stay up until 5 a.m.
I don't think that's true. I think there have been times where we didn't.
Really?
I don't know, but we do it a lot.
Yeah. I get sickly if I don't get sleep, and most times I'm with you.
You just get sick.
I'm like sick, yeah. I'm like, oh my god, I'm so nauseous.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
One of these days, Caleb, we should hang out, not for an event.
Yeah.
You ever consider that?
Hey, D-Cole.
Like, we should just
I am but hang a out. 5-hour drive from you? I don't know.
Right now?
I don't know. Orlando. What's Orlando from you?
Oh, probably
10.
10 or 20?
I don't know. When you span the whole East Coast, it all seems like a little...
But I feel like I could just... I think Allegiant has some pretty cheap flights to Florida.
Oh, boy. Hey.
Nashville. I got a month off, dog.
Oh, you do have a month off.
I got nothing going on.
Oh, my gosh. And neither does...
Charlotte's got to work out her 2 weeks because... Her job's not as cool as mine.
Well, hey, man. If you want
to, that's the whole other thing. Charlotte's also quitting her job.
Yeah,
that's so wild. We're just going to be like fun employed for a month.
That's so great. I thought last year when I was in Florida, it was like I quit the week before, and so it was all new to me. And the way my brain tells the story back was like I got into LiveWire right away and I was just on it, you know, like I didn't take any time off. And now I'm in Florida. And I'm working full time. Like, I was doing all this adventuring last year and riding my bike everywhere and all this stuff. And this year I've been like working from a desk from 9 to 5. Then it's dark, make dinner, hang out. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. So I guess I think I've really transitioned into being like a full-time 9-to-5 desk guy.
Are you capable of taking a hiatus from the hiatus?
Not right now. Maybe though, but definitely not right now.
You should.
The thing is, I love it.
Yeah.
I do love it. I feel no urge to not do it.
Right, but I think it's important for your life and your wife.
Yeah. No, it is. And I'm in that dangerous place right now where, like, the last thing I want to do is experience life away from these projects.
Yeah.
Which is right. not the healthiest place to be.
Well, and that's like, that is a 90 degree turn away from hating the projects.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you don't want to hate your projects. You want to love them.
Yep. Yeah, so I definitely... So right now, my head's all Lyricon online.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm what basically...
What are you doing? You know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable in as much as you're comfortable saying?
Sure, I'll say anything. I don't... I think I've even been public
I'll
about...
Say
I don't have much to say. Just to
just
hold
you,
trying to make you laugh. Somehow,
somehow
I can't,
put you in the bed.
Decole, I love that you and I have pop punk in common as well. That's a foundational piece.
Oh yeah, it's part of our mythology.
Oh my gosh.
Along with RuneScape.
If you don't know every word to All Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls, then is it that? No pads, no helmets, just balls.
Something.
You're doing it wrong. So, Decole. Lyricon online. Yeah, I'm in like hunker down mode.
Yep.
V1 of LiveWire is going to be tagged on stage, Lyricon Online.
Nice.
Stage is my floor. And what's his name? The guy who runs Lyricon Online. No offense to this man, Ian Lantzman.
Yep.
No offense that I couldn't remember your name instantly. I'm just dead.
The Userscaper.
Yes. Ian Lantzman asked me to speak at Lyricon Online and speak about LiveWire. This is,
dope.
You know, there was a moment a while ago where I was talking to Adam about... I was asking him for his advice on like charging for LiveWire, and he's like, dude, definitely don't do it. He was one of the multiple people who were like, yeah, you're going to make the wrong move. But
dude, you know how much more money you would be making now if you had come up with sponsorware like three projects ago?
I know. That's funny. Yeah. I don't want to like abuse sponsorware and make everybody roll their eyes when I like come out with
sure.
something new, but yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
No, but you can make a judgment call on a given project
yeah.
where this is like, I just need 5 new sponsors and I'll push this.
Yeah,
or
right. It could be
like
just a little like one
project.
More sponsor and I'll put this out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's still pricing decisions built into it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good call. So anyway, yeah. And one of the things Adam said, he's like, just use it to build your reputation or something like that. And I was
yeah.
like, that's weird. I wasn't even thinking like that. And
yeah.
And but interestingly, when I look back, it's like, yeah, well, that's really like insanely valuable. And I didn't see that it would do that for me for some reason. But
yeah.
Anyway, so I just got invited to Laravel Live UK as well. So it's I'm totally bragging right now, but I finally feel like I'm at that place where like I don't really have to apply to the I'm just saying it. But like I feel like I don't have to apply to the conferences. I'm like
yeah, you've made it.
Yeah, I feel like it's like too much work to submit a paper. So it's just like,
well, this
I don't
want to
submit
Caleb,
a paper. So if
this
you
is
invite
very good
me, I'll
because
speak,
I am going to ask of you, there may be a time and this time may never come where I will call upon you for a favor. And that will be that you're going to start turning down conferences unless they also accept my submitted papers. Like, I'm not going to Spain,
Daniel Ware,
unless you bring Decole along.
That would be great.
That'd be so fun.
So anyway, but enough about me and all my success,
your many accomplishments.
My wild success. What am I even talking about? Ian Lantzman, Lyricon Online.
Lantzman,
we're tagging 1.0.
You're tagging 1.0,
and I'm launching Project L, which I don't
which
know if we talked
about.
Which
is the demo app?
Yes,
we have not talked about it on the show.
Launching Project L. Tagging 1.0, and yeah, I don't even know what the talk is yet. I haven't even started planning it, and it's coming
just
up.
Just walk through Project L.
Well, I want it to be awesome. I want the talk to be awesome, so I don't know yeah. how I'm going to pull that off. But, you know, like, I'm like, oh, I should deconstruct. I think I want to do, like, a LiveWire deconstruction, where I...
Ooh,
because
like
here's the
hard
thing.
Tech talk?
Yeah. But I want to come at it from a different angle. Like, basically, I think there's two ways people use LiveWire. One of them is good, and one of them is not as good.
Dude, that's the talk.
Yeah, that's the talk. But so the only thing stopping me from giving this talk is that Taylor wanted me to do an advanced LiveWire / Alpine talk at Laracon US. And this is the advanced talk.
And that's the one where you get to make the distinction. Because by doing an advanced LiveWire / Alpine talk, then you get to say, okay, now I want to toggle this modal. But guess what? LiveWire is a terrible way to toggle
right.
a modal.
So I want to say that so in this talk, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so what's the advanced content for Laravel, for Laracon US, you know, if I do it now? But
well, you just don't go into Alpine in this talk.
Right, I could not go into Alpine, that's true. But I feel like that would be weird if I didn't talk about Alpine at all. Because it's a crucial part of the
question.
Workflow.
This is very interesting. So you actually see Alpine as part of the LiveWire workflow.
Big time, yeah.
You need to namespace it.
What do you mean?
LiveWire / Alpine. Is that not how it is? Do you have the LiveWire org? Who has the LiveWire org?
Oh, no. It's Alpine / Alpine. Because Alpine has such massive potential outside of LiveWire, I want people to not even think about LiveWire when they think about Alpine. But I want everybody who uses LiveWire to be like, oh, well, yeah, Alpine.
So you just need to put it in the docs then.
Yeah. Yeah. I have all the support there. I just have to do all the communicating. But like when I wrote Alpine, it was basically to solve my needs that I was having because I had gone into this LiveWire paradigm. But
dude, did we talk about that Reddit thread on the podcast?
Oh, we didn't, Decole.
We don't have time for any of this.
Oh my gosh. Okay, pause 1 second on the Reddit thread. I'll just finish. I'll blast this off.
Yeah.
Alpine. I wrote it to solve a LiveWire problem, sort of, to solve some problems. Yeah. But once I wrote it the way I just thought about it. I didn't think about it in terms of LiveWire. So it didn't actually like work with LiveWire for a while. Like I didn't even use it, but I cracked that code like a couple weeks ago. And now I'm seeing the massive potential. And so Project L, I'm like, somebody wanted infinite scroll in Project L. And I was like, great. Yeah, let's do infinite scroll. It's something I've wanted to do for a while and couldn't picture the best way to do it.
Yeah.
But I did it with a recursive LiveWire component, which is ridiculous. It's super simple, by the way.
Containing an Alpine component.
So the LiveWire component has the LiveWire component is recursive. That's how you get the infiniteness of the scroll. Uh-huh.
But the spinner is Alpine.
No, the spinner's LiveWire because you just get that automatically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just
right.
wire colon loading.
Yeah, yeah.
There's there's one div in it that's an Alpine component. X data and then X on scroll. So I listen for the scroll and then I have a little if is in viewport. And I can do at this, which is a blade directive dot call method, because I can use Alpine to call LiveWire methods. That's magic, is the at this thing, which is just ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And these are the kinds of things that I want to hot tip tweet all day long, but nobody understands. They'll see it and be like, I don't get it. What are you doing? I don't even see
how this is
cool.
This is for your Laracon US talk. Save this all for your Laracon US.
Interesting. So then what do I talk about at Laracon Online? I feel like this is all the stuff I'm really into right now. Like, why wouldn't I?
So you tag 1.0.
Okay.
Well, I think... So Laracon Online has not necessarily seen your Laracon US talk. So you can't just assume that this is the follow-up to your Laracon US talk. Laracon Online is a way bigger audience than Laracon US.
Backpedal and like start from scratch on a couple things.
Well, this is a huge audience that's seeing LiveWire for the first time.
Yeah. Maybe.
So you have to... You have to, well, at least a
significant
proportion of them are seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're definitely seeing you talk about it for the first time.
Yeah. This is why this talk is so hard for me to even think about. Because
No. I think it's not that hard. Here's what I think you do.
Okay.
I think you take whatever the most foundational view of Project L is, right?
Okay.
Whatever the main app view of Project L is.
Okay.
Like you have a table with sorting and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I saw that tweet.
Right.
You take that table with sorting and stuff, you build it the old shitty way, and then you make it good.
Yeah, I guess.
And then you say, by the way, all of this is part of my massive LiveWire demo project called Project L, which I'm actually naming now and I'm putting out. And
yeah,
here it is.
I guess.
By the way, LiveWire is now 1.0, tagging it. Go get it. Party rocking.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. I think you're right. I mean,
I don't think you need, I don't think you want to go too hard. But I have 45
minutes, which is nice. Like, Laracon US is 30 minutes. It's hard to go deep in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm probably going to hit you up and ask you for more advice because I feel pretty stuck and like frustrated.
Yeah, hang. Let's hang.
Deacol, Reddit.
Dude. You got to go.
In a bit. Yeah. Reddit,
dude.
This is so funny. Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
So I subscribed to the PHP Reddit. And I was scrolling through and I just saw a guy made a post called Making the Case Against Livewire.
Yeah, all caps. Against.
And I was like, oh my god, let's go. And before I clicked it, I was like, SRP is going to be mentioned. I know.
Really?
SRP is going to be mentioned. Yeah. And of course, he's just one of those guys.
Yep.
He's one of those guys. And there's nothing that drives me up a wall like those guys.
Those guys.
And so I start reading the thread. I read the article. It's dumb. It's like a bad. It's bad. Right? Like, there's like 10 points or whatever. Three of them are just like
left.
Different solid principles.
Yeah, right. The first three, yeah.
He names them, and then he says that you don't do them. And that's all.
Yeah.
yep. Then there's a bunch where it's like, this guy doesn't know how Livewire works. And then there's one where it's like, the ultimate misunderstanding of Livewire, which is the most common misunderstanding of Livewire in my apprehension.
You're right.
Is the, and it makes a web request every time you toggle a modal. Mm-hmm. Or it makes an HTTP request every time you toggle a modal. Why would you want to keep your local front-end state on the server and then have to make an HTTP request to toggle a state variable? Which is the worst, because if any of you listening didn't know, that's not what Livewire is for. Livewire is for places where you were already making an HTTP request and you didn't want it to suck as much.
And some extra HTTP requests.
Yeah, a couple extra HTTP requests. But like the places it's good, the reason you should use it
is because
you're deciding whether or not to make a bunch of Ajax requests.
It's at least a drop-in for your current setup with no more overhead, at least.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
It can be much more than that. It can make sense to make a ton of requests, you know.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah, this freaking post.
This thread.
So before I pass it back off to you, I encountered this. Somebody tweeted this at me and was like, hey, have you seen this? And
yeah.
So, you know, I saw the title, and this is what I'm much better at, like, not really giving a shit anymore, but but still, that there's that part of me that's like, they found me out. They found out all the things that Livewire is violated, and, it, you know.
Yeah, and it's going to be like Chris McCord explaining why your thing is bad
versus his thing. Right. Yeah, you know? I know. Yeah, so who knows what it is, and I just read through it, and so I really quickly realize that it's just horse shit, like, right out of the gate, you know, just reading this thing. And yeah, he just leads off with like three ridiculous statements about architecture things that are just completely not even related to Livewire at all. And then, my blood is boiling by the end of it.
And like fundamental misunderstandings of those solid principles too. So like he doesn't get those solid principles.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, no, he doesn't get anything. The guy is a complete idiot. Oh, he actually listens to the show. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Well, I actually thought about what we should do when we talk about it, and so I'll just say this right now. Here's what it is.
Guy who I just called a complete idiot.
Guy who wrote article. If you're listening to this episode, I want you to know that I don't remember your name at all. I didn't see a picture or anything. To me, you are a faceless person. You can pretend that you never wrote the article and we can meet and hang out, and or you can tell me that you wrote the article. I guess what I'm saying is if I'm putting myself in your shoes listening to this podcast and hearing me tear you apart, I would feel pretty bad. That would really suck. So I guess I want to say that I'm sorry for what we're about to do to you and that it's not a reflection on you as a person. And I've made tons of bad decisions. Even this is me saying it's a bit.
This is so mean.
Oh, man. I guess, dude, you found my spot. This is the spot where absolute asshole, I guess.
Here's what's bad. And Assert Chris our good friend Assert Chris from
Wait,
the internet.
Really quick, before we have to talk about about me and my outburst.
Your response.
But I have to say that the first time I read this, I read through it and I went, "Oh, great, he didn't make any valid points." And I was like, "Oh, this is great." Well, he made one like somewhat valid point, but not really. So out of like 10, and it was even wrong. So I was like, "Oh, great, this is a garbage post. Thank God." And then I go back to Twitter and I reply. I'm like, "I really wish I could justify writing a complete dismantling post for every one of his points, but nobody's seen this." I was like, "This." I basically was like, "I wish this justified the effort, but it doesn't. So let's just call it trash for now." And so I just dismissed it because I looked at the bottom. There was one comment, and it was this guy going, "So this post totally backfired on you because I just looked up LiveWire and it is awesome. I'm super into it. I read the first page and I'm all in," which I thought was hilarious. So I just forgot about it. Then you message me and you're like, "Yo, bro, have you seen this?" Okay. Yeah. Then hilarity ensues. Go on.
Then hilarity ensues. But yeah, so Assert Chris had the top comment, which was great. And one of the things he said, which I think is super important, is like, posts like this are super dangerous to a young project. Like, it's not like you're like being like the case against Node.js, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You're going out there and like attacking the most popular language in the world. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're attacking something without fully understanding it, without knowing enough about it to make the points that you're making. You're going out and taking shots at something that is new enough that it could be forgiven for making some mistakes, and new enough that
it could be dismissed.
A couple articles totally tearing it down could actually have a pretty negative impact on it.
Yep.
And you're doing that. Why? This is the thing that bothered me the most. Is I'm sitting there and I'm like, why did this guy write this article, right? And there is exactly one plausible reason why this guy wrote this article. And it was because he thought it was going to do good on Reddit. And that like the actual reason I got pissed off was that. Right? Because I wasn't like mad that he was wrong. Right? I was mad that he basically was like taking shots at your thing that he didn't understand, taking like invalid shots, sounding like an authority.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was going to do good on Reddit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
That's why you write the post. That's the only good reason
I don't know.
That post.
I mean, probably, yeah. I just chalked it up to him just like wanting to. I don't know. I could see, like, I mean, it's a controversial thing. So I do want to say before we go further that there are plenty of good rebuttals to LiveWire. Like, there's lots of good criticism.
Yeah,
I'll be
for
the
sure,
first.
For
like,
sure.
let's hash it out. You know?
Well, I mean, I think the idea of LiveWire was initially something that I argued with you about for like 7 episodes.
Probably.
Right?
LiveWire.
Like, there's like 7 episodes of me shitting on the idea of LiveWire.
It's super controversial. Right? And it's the anti-S. It's very opinionated. And it's opinionated against the mainstream. So it's kind of an area that should be discussed and debated. But this is not it. But I just wanted to say that nobody should interpret my ridiculousness and me being so angry as being like, oh, like nobody can talk bad about LiveWire because Kale's going to freak out. That's not true.
No. Talk bad about LiveWire all you want. I think there's, you know, plenty of reasons to not use LiveWire. All
right. Easy, D. Cole. Let up on it. Come on.
But don't just take cheap shots.
Yeah, it's just
don't pretend that like the single responsibility principle don't pretend that separation of concerns means that you always need to write different parts of your app in different languages or you're not doing separation of concerns.
Oh my gosh, dude, his freaking part where he's like, "Oh my god. Okay. Oh, dude." So before I like go into it, explain, maybe tell the user about what happened here when I
wrote a response. You wrote a response and posted it and said, go look at my response. And
why did I? So you, I did tell you to look at it because I figured I needed you to like splash some water on the situation.
Yeah, but you didn't send it to me and then post it.
Right. No, right? I posted,
you posted it and then sent it to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I went and looked at it and you were like, this is fucking stupid. You're fucking dumb. This is stupid and dumb. You're dumb and stupid.
No, okay. I mean, it was that tone.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole thing was like concrete points.
No, you made all the concrete points.
Like very
you just
concrete.
Surrounded them with venom.
Exactly. You were just, it was like pure
you were
venom.
Pissed. Like someone came after your kid and you were like, hey, motherfucker, don't you touch my live
like I
wire.
Made it so personal.
You got so heated, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Because you felt attacked. Yeah. Understandably, because it was a hit piece.
I feel like, yeah, right, because there were 53 comments on Reddit.
And it was a hit piece.
Oh, man. Dude.
That's the thing.
I mean, and then so you immediately were like, okay, so your first response was like, yeah, maybe take out the, what did you tell me to take out?
I think I was like,
take
I
out
forget
the,
what I said.
The, oh, some language that I kept using that was like,
I think you might have called him an idiot or something.
Oh, take out the, dude, I don't know. It was something though. And you're like,
I basically
maybe,
was like, why don't you be nice?
Right, exactly. Like, take out those. Well, you started off like really easy to not like, you know, trigger me or something. Like,
yeah.
Take, you know, it was very diplomatic. You're like, yeah, maybe just take these out. And so I'm like, yeah, he's probably right. So I go to take them out. And then you said a couple, you're like, yeah, basically it's like, and then I was like, okay, I think I need to rewrite this thing. Immediately delete. And was like, okay, I deleted it. And you're like, good.
I was like, for the sake of the people who will read this comment.
And be like.
Not for the sake of the guy who you're responding to.
Oh, I know.
You need to be.
I posted
balanced
it
and measured.
And realized, like, this could be a very bad thing for my career. Like. It's like,
well, not for your career.
You don't think so?
But just like,
you don't think that people like let's just like Linus Torvalds or something, like sharing like images of early emails and stuff, or play at just times when he's a complete asshole and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is such a dick.
I don't know. I mean, they're just going to share this clip from the podcast anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But see, and it's right. It's like, we're talking, so it's fine. Like, it's in a podcast. Yeah, so
we're talking,
one, it's a safe space.
We walked back from being mean.
Yeah, like, you can experience the whole thing. And you know that I don't want to, like, murder this guy. I just want to talk about how dumb this post is. But, yeah, in my comment back, I was pretty ruthless. And I remember, like, I don't know. It was like I was, like, foaming at the mouth. Because I remember, like, pulling my head out of my ass and being like, holy shit, I got to delete this. I was like, holy shit, I look like a complete dick right now. Like, I look very, very mean.
Very mean.
Very mean.
And
yeah.
You make him look more right by getting so defensive.
I know.
Too.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, so here's the fact of the matter. The post was ludicrous. It was hot.
It was bad.
Garbage.
It was bad.
It was bad. And that's okay for something to be bad and nobody to care. But when 53 people start saying, like, no, it's really important for pieces. Everybody who's saying that this is garbage, it's really important for pieces like this so that newcomers like us, like, know to watch out for something. And I'm like, everybody has to know right now how bad
this is garbage.
And so I dismantled. I mean, like, he literally, like, there's an entire paragraph about how LiveWire makes your life harder. Because before, LiveWire is harder to test. Because before, when everything was separated, and he starts describing all the steps to, like, write a component and an API and a backend and test it all together and everything. And I'm like, what are you saying? Like,
yeah, LiveWire is so much harder to test because before I could just write five separate tests.
Before
and now I only
I
have
could
to write
maintain
one test.
Three different code bases and two different test suites. And oh my gosh, he was such an, yeah. Yeah. The thing. Like, oh,
do you remember,
man.
Do you remember, Caleb, that moment in time where, like, me and you and Samantha were all working on different iterations of, like, trying to get full stack testing working with Dusk.
Yeah.
And, or, like, full stack Jest testing working using the Dusk engine.
Yep.
And, like.
Like, to link
that
PHP
was the dream.
Unit and Jest test.
That was the dream.
I still think about that. Yeah.
I know. To just have, like, all of the data available.
Right.
And yet.
Have your, like, PHP unit tests, like, generate all the JSON files that your Jest tests consume from the API mocks.
Yeah. But guess what? We don't even have that. And even that would be two different test suites.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, and like to further demonstrate this point, he lists out all the points he's going to go over in the article. Yeah. And he lists like 10 or something and does not follow them. He does like 7 points that he goes into, doesn't use the same titles, mixes the points completely. So I tried, and so in my rebuttal, you remember, I'm like, yeah. And
you're
this,
like, I'm not sure what I he said, was saying about
right.
this one.
I said, all right, I'll go through this point by point. I paste in all the 10 points, then I start going through and realizing that I can't even, it's hard
you
for me to
go point by
right.
point.
Right, I was like, I yeah. can't even respond. I can't even dismantle your post because it's so ridiculously written. Oh. So I, and then I start like, you know, yelling at him about that. Yeah, there were just so many things that he got plain wrong. Like, not like straight incorrect. Yeah, so anyway, but ultimately
that being said,
if I like cool down and pretend, if I steel man his arguments, basically like give him the best version of his arguments, there are a few valid points that are really worth talking about, and I think they come back to a fundamental misunderstanding that you brought attention to, that he's treating it as a replacement for React, basically.
Yeah,
he's like,
and that's just not what it's
for. Not what it is. It's not, you yeah. can't use the same mental model that you use when you write a React app with.
And that was oh why I started liking Livewire and not hating Livewire.
Right, because it's not just a super slow React.
Because it's not just bad
React. It's not just
React.
A super slow React, right. That would be a fun tagline for like the Laracon Online conference talk.
Bad
be
React.
Like, Livewire is not just slow React. Or maybe start off like, Livewire is slow React. Or slow view, like really slow and bad view. He said, oh, he was talking about, okay, hypothetically, and he's telling me how if he wants to create like one component per letter, like per character, like one Livewire component per character in a text box or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this happening right now? Because in his mind, it's like React, where like you can create as many tiny little components and repeat them 1,000 times as you want.
Although
a character React component.
Come on now.
I know. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, but the valid points are, so he was like, and it's not declarative. And he was so wrong.
Which is it is so declarative.
Oh, right. And so the thing he's saying, right. So Livewire.
He's imperative.
He's like telling me how React is declarative. And I'm like, actually, when you do wire colon model, you do everything with one declaration. In React, like, we're not going to talk about imperative because you have to listen for the change. Okay,
component
so
did update.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. And then you have to fire the action and the dispatcher and the blah, 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 blobber and the regexer, react reduxer that then, like, fires off an imperative API request and receives a response and imperatively put, you know, it's just like,
get, and then like sets all the correct headers, the bearer token. Come on, get out of here.
Oh man. I mean, just even the simple thing of like sending an Axios request from a view component and doing something
like
with its
the
output
most imperative
is completely
thing you can ever do.
Imperative. And Livewire literally
using
turns that into a declarative
API
process.
More, yeah.
So anyway, I was losing my marbles, but the one point he had was that Livewire's intercomponent
makes more HTTP requests?
No,
that's the only valid point, and that's
well the valid point. There one valid point is you do end up writing more. You end up the cross component communication is harder in Livewire. You have to emit events.
Yeah.
It's not just props down, but you have to think about it very differently. You have to think about, well, instead of nesting live, like sometimes you need to nest blade components, and those are props down. Whatever. We don't have to get into it, but basically he just doesn't understand. But that is a valid criticism if you look. But again, that's that problem. If you look at Livewire as a drop-in viewer React complete replacement.
Yeah,
what was the
and
other...
I'm going to one-for-one rewrite each of my components from my view app as Livewire components.
Right. So that was the point that was worth discussing. Like the only point that he had that was valid. Like if you push this paradigm to the extreme, and in some cases...
No, but he can... I think he and everyone else can be forgiven for initially misunderstanding
absolutely.
What Livewire is for.
Absolutely.
And thinking that that there should be a way in Livewire to do modals.
They would be right. I have failed at the messaging because literally the homepage right now says JavaScript is crazy these days, which it leads you to believe, and it shows you the difference. It one-on-one compares a view component and a Livewire component. I have done the work of, because that's the easiest way to quickly wrap your head around LiveWire. But yeah. I have, even my messaging is wrong. Like, it's not what I would. You have
brought this pox upon your own family.
Because I've transformed as I've learned how to use LiveWire.
Yeah, and the messaging hasn't kept up.
And the messaging has not kept up. I haven't touched that page since I wrote it.
Yeah. Well, and that, like, I decided that day that, that was the major problem with LiveWire was that that one messaging point.
Yep.
The one specific messaging point that just needs to be in your docs in all red uppercase things with flashing emojis that just says, don't use this to make modals and dropdowns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And links to Alpine. Like, that thing, the thing that describes this as a suite of tools where Alpine is the thing that replaces all of your front-end only UI JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And like I said this to you earlier, like the reason so many people fall into this trap is that if you're building a new project from scratch, from the ground up, and it's all Blade so far, you haven't even NPM'd. You haven't NPM initted.
Yeah.
There is no package.json. Or there is no package.json.
Yeah.
The first time you're going to use JavaScript in that application is for some sort of a UI concern, right?
Okay.
It's for some sort of a, oh, and then here I'm going to need a dropdown, so I better go pull in some JavaScript to make my dropdown function, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to make an AJAX request before you have some JavaScript code to send that data into.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
And so like, for example, whatever, like say you have like a sortable table,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The first piece of JavaScript that you're going to write. So say you have a table and it's all Blade, right? And you're like, oh, I want to add like sortable to this table, right?
Yep.
The first JavaScript code you're probably going to write is the dropdown or whatever.
Yep.
That lets you like choose the direction to sort, you know?
Yes.
And then you'll write an AJAX request that goes and fetches all the columns and rows.
Okay. I
you know what I'm saying?
Well, okay, go on. What's the point?
But so the point is someone has heard Caleb Porzio out there in the world saying, don't get into this view madness.
Yeah.
Don't take the first drink and you can't get drunk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't install Vue and you can't end up in Vue madness.
Yep.
And so they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try not installing Vue and I'm going to go grab LiveWire.
Yep.
But the task that they need right now is not a LiveWire task, but it would have been a Vue task. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So because the first task they need is just like some random UI JavaScript, not some AJAX request JavaScript,
they hit the wall.
Go install LiveWire. They immediately try and do something that LiveWire is bad for.
Yeah, right. And they go, wait a minute.
And then they're like, why is it lagging? It
takes 150 milliseconds to open a dropdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that like life cycle is repeating itself in various places. And so then the next day I saw a tweet about it too. And I like quickly responded. I was like, I think you're misusing it. Blah, 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 blah. And like, I think that this is the thing is like, for now, all you can do is respond back to the people who misunderstand that.
Right.
But I think there's a nut to crack as you're co-branding Alpine and LiveWire. Yeah. There's a nut to crack about explaining that.
Yeah. And I think the way to do it is to be the first person to criticize LiveWire for that.
Yeah. But I don't think you have to criticize LiveWire.
But what I'm saying is, like, if I really wanted to communicate that message strongly and clearly, I would start by being the person who writes the case against LiveWire post. You know?
Mm.
Like, I would be the one who would be like, here's what LiveWire is bad for. Or here's how... But frame it as, like what somebody might think, which is LiveWire is just a slower, badder version of React or Vue. Like, something like that. Start from that thought process and work your way back, basically.
Gotcha.
And work them back from that thought process, you know, giving them concrete examples and evidence, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, a lot of good stuff here at DCOL.
Good one.
I want to say congratulations to you one more time.
Thanks, man.
You're a free man until next month.
For now. Give it a month.
Back to the shackles.
Yeah.
But
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to some new rhythm, some new code, some new people.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. It's always exciting, you know?
Absolutely.
New process, new everything. New computer.
Oh, yeah. New computer. I should get one. I should get a job. I'm running on a 2015er, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should get a job until you've bought a computer and then quit. Just get a job for just long enough to buy a computer and then leave.
What are your goals here? Well, I'd like to afford a laptop. I love the way you just said that. Laptop. All right, Dico. I feel like you should cue us out here.
Would you like to cue that outro music?
Cue the outro music now.
Doom, boo doo, boom. Isn't it great?